Welcome to the Blue Dot Podcast. Please join us as we discuss what's happening in Harrison County, Indiana.
Hey friends, I'm Elmer Ramos.
And I'm Graylin Porter, and you're listening to the Blue Dot Podcast.
Hello, Harrison County, and welcome to episode 76 of the Blue Dot. I'm so excited for today's delivery digest.
I'm always excited. And delivery digest.
Is it delivery?
Discovery digest.
Okay.
I'm
sorry.
Delivery digest.
No. I don't know. Maybe there's something subconsciously there.
I like digest.
We still don't have it right. It's discovery dialogues.
Oh my gosh.
We're growing.
There we go. But today
Let's
we have
change it every time.
Yeah.
Today we have a very special guest.
Hi, Miriam Robertson is back. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, good to be here.
And you are a dear friend, member of a book club that Amanda and Mom and I are in. And you were great on this podcast last year. So
yeah,
thank
I enjoyed you. Every single episode on. I was like, I can't wait till you meet this
really?
Person.
Yes. I met you today in the flesh.
Well, thank you. Appreciate all the kind words.
Flesh.
Hope I can live up to it.
Okay. But yeah, we're going to talk about some housekeeping stuff and then get into our discussion about our discoveries. Okay.
Hey there, Blue Dot listener. If you're like us and love staying on the loop with all the local updates and positive news taking place in our community, then consider making a donation. As you know, Blue Dot is fueled by the passion and dedication of volunteers, but we also rely on the support of our amazing community to keep improving our quality and outreach.
And if you've ever thought about supporting what we do, now's your chance. You can make a one-time donation by simply visiting our website at bluedothc.com. Just click on the donate button. Every contribution, big or small, helps us bring the positive news you love.
Thanks for being a part of our community, and thanks for helping us continue to share the good things our community has to offer. We couldn't do it without you.
Remember, every donation goes a long way in supporting the Blue Dot Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Okay, so you have we have two things here that we want to share about our community upcoming events and stuff like that. So the first thing was The Tempest, the Shakespeare.
Yep.
It's the play that they do at the park.
Yes, or Shakespeare on the square.
On the square,
With Southern Indiana Shakespeare, I think, works.
Theater
Works?
It's the Art Alliance of Southern Indiana, Indiana State Museum Historic Sites, and the Harrison County Public Library.
Perfect.
Right?
Yes,
I think those are
right.
All the contributors to
yes.
this.
Yes, and Martin French is directing again. He was on the show last year for A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah, when they I love had that one.
Yes, yes. And so this will be May 10th, 6:30 p.m. on the square. And when I went last year, it was in the church. It was in Wright Center.
Is it a weather thing? I can't remember.
I can't remember if it was a weather thing.
Was it? Yeah.
I think it was cold and windy.
Oh,
Not terrible, but they just went ahead and called it early, which I kind of appreciated. Like,
yeah,
let's not even try to make this. And that venue in the Wright Center was actually really nice.
I
hope to get down there, and I hope they have a nice night for this time.
Yeah, I think so. I love the one that was at the park. Like, that one was...
I didn't make it to
I
that
can't
one,
remember.
So.
Was I that... Can't. What was that? Romeo and Juliet?
Probably. Yes, it was Romeo and Juliet. Yes, yes. Which is not my favorite play. It's not my favorite. I love the movie from the 90s.
You know what? I don't really... No, I haven't... Again, my lack of
you
watching
You would really
movies.
Like it, I think.
Is it dramatic?
It's very dramatic. It's very, so it's the same guy who did Moulin Rouge.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Very
it's
theater,
very
theatrical
like,
kind
oh,
of vibe.
It's
yeah,
wild.
Yeah.
And it has Leo.
Leo?
Leonardo DiCaprio at his peak.
Huh.
It's 1998, 1997.
Young
before
Leo.
Before Titanic.
Oh, dang.
When he was a little edgier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
It's
perfect for that. But what else you had
so,
here?
And the other thing that I had on here that I wanted to mention was the Leadership Harrison County PICS. And PICS stands for
it's
Promoting...
It's like all capitals PICS.
PICS, P-I-C-K-S. Stands for Promoting Inspiration Through Community Knowledge Sharing. I came up with that, yeah.
You did it.
with a little help from AI. Just going to admit it.
By the way... I've been experimenting.
Oh, yeah?
So I said, this is the kind of technology that if you don't learn how to use this, it's you're going to be, like, left behind.
Yeah, 100%.
You know,
yeah.
So I said, you are going to make an effort. And so I have a two-month trial for Gemini Advanced, the Google one.
Gemini, okay.
And I'm working with it.
Cool. Well, there's a bunch of free stuff. Like, yeah. I mean, like ChatGPT is free.
Yeah.
I love it. The one I pay for is like image generating, which
you're
again,
right.
It's like you can spend hours and waste your time and the amount of time that you spent working on it, you could have made it drawing.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's about
yeah.
like, I don't use it as a way to make a work. I use it as a way to get creative.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, the same way you go to Pinterest and
yeah.
pick pictures that you like
yeah.
and you're like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to save it for later.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I use it for. It's just like compositions, ideas, you know, and then
yeah.
I make the art based.
I was using it. I just finished Into the Wild by John Krakauer. I reread that. And I was getting ready to start this new book that is a retelling of Huck Finn, but from Jim's perspective. And I was like, I haven't read Huck Finn since I was in school. And so I was like, summarize Huck Finn for me. And then I realized, like, I kept asking it more questions about the book and, like, in more detail. And it was giving me all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, connect this book to Into the Wild. Connect Huck Finn to Into the Wild by John Krakauer. And it did. And
holy
it gave me like
crap.
How all the themes go together.
That's amazing.
And so like you could like create like a syllabus for yourself and like
uh-huh.
how your books that you just read relate to the next book.
It's a way
it
to,
very cool.
to think creatively,
yes.
I think. It's like that's the best way to describe AI. It's like all the effort you put into thinking, like it makes it easier for you when you're just like controlling these great ideas.
Yeah,
and
it's very cool.
So, I don't know. You get a rush. I started writing a book on AI, which you're not supposed to because
yeah.
essentially it's like public. You
yeah.
know, you can't really sell it. But it was about a raccoon that has a print shop.
That's
and he
amazing.
Has like a whole life with a family and everything.
That's
has, there's a bad guy. There's a best friend.
That's so funny.
This is what happens when like you can't sleep. So you just play on your phone.
That's
in
amazing.
Bed.
It's better than social media.
I know. I
is
do,
it a
I
replacement?
Had to delete it. I had to.
Is it a replacement for
100%,
social?
100%.
Yeah.
I think so. But it's more creative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's more like of an effort instead
oh.
of writing your
and
brain.
You're not looking
scrolling.
At other people's lives.
Exactly.
That you don't know. That's great.
So, sorry.
Okay,
going
sorry.
Back to leadership, Harrison County picks. So as soon as you walk into the main branch down in Corydon, the library, you walk in, it's going to be a tiny little shelf right there. There's a nice sign that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm bragging about myself
yeah,
a little
that's
bit
okay.
here.
It's all right.
But it's, you know, it's an amazing opportunity for you to, you know, gain leadership skills. And it goes with the Leadership Henderson County mission of developing servant leaders for
yeah.
tomorrow. And, you know, maybe that's something that gets you into trying out leadership in the future.
Nice.
So we're going to keep rotating it. Maybe every 6 months we're going to add different books to that shelf. But if you go to the catalog on the Harrison County Library and you just type leadership picks, the books that are on that shelf will pop up.
Oh,
so it's
fun.
A specific section. We work with Elisa Birch and the library staff to kind of set it up so that it's easier for people
that's
to find
excellent.
And stuff. So, you know, and a big thanks to, again, the library for allowing us to do this.
This segment is basically just what's the library up to?
The library's kicking butt.
They're kicking butt. They are. As always, I will always be a champion of the library every step of the way. All right. Well, I mean, we're going to talk to Miriam.
Yeah. I'm excited to deep
discovery
dive.
Dialogues. All right.
All right.
Mom, I want you to go first today. What's keeping you going this month?
Okay, I have two things. One, from my perspective, is good. From the town's perspective, it might be a loss, but you know the lyric, you gain and lose in life every day.
Uh-huh.
The chicken trucks.
What song is that from?
Both Sides Now.
Oh.
Okay. The chicken trucks are gone. The smell is gone. The noise is gone. Ridley Street is a normal neighborhood now.
It's
no
nice.
No semis. And I know the town is going to suffer a little bit because of the tax base, but I think in the long run, for the downtown, for the wine walk this past
Saturday.
That's
exactly what I was thinking.
I thought, oh my gosh, there's no chicken trucks going through the wine walk. And it was a crowd. They sold 1,000 tickets.
Wow. Yeah.
It was
Janelle
really good
reported on that last night. And
amazing.
I just thought as she was talking about the success of the whole thing that, oh my, just crossing the street would have been so much easier.
Yeah.
Those trucks would come by every 20 minutes in the middle of the night. And last night, again, my usual, oh, I think I'll watch my iPad while I'm not sleeping.
That's another thing. Like, it boggles my mind that she does this.
So I watched some K-dramas and
you know, she can.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
I can.
It's
I can.
A privilege.
It's a privilege.
It's a privilege.
And I use that privilege,
you
Mary.
Need to.
Yes. There was no trucks, not one. And it was great. So that's my happiness factor.
I just realized, nice. I just made the connection. I have been sleeping pretty well lately. I wonder if there is something to do with it.
Well, they downshift coming down that hill.
I wonder if there is anything to that, because I have been sleeping very well.
And I don't want to act like I hated it before. I didn't.
No.
It was just something that you
It's
live
just something
with.
We had to live with, yeah.
Right. But it's amazing how much nicer it is.
And I never even thought it wouldn't be the case. Like, it never entered my mind that they wouldn't be going. Like,
yeah. It was not a problem.
We were going to beyond my wildest dreams that they would not be coming up and down the street, because it's just the way it's always been.
And North Capitol, too. Because as many come in from the north as from the south.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was talking to Les about it, town board, and we were all laughing because it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
And I hope if anything happens with that place that they will be mindful of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting how your subconscious kind of becomes so used to it, and even though it bothers you, it no, you know, like still bothers you, but you don't react to it as much anymore.
No, not at all. Right. Especially since I lost my sense of smell during COVID.
It was before that.
It was before
COVID.
Okay, was that a heart attack?
Lucky you.
That helps.
Yeah, seems to be a problem.
So what else do you...
And then my other quick thing, too, and, well, it doesn't have to be quick, because there's a world of discussion here. Miriam, that book club meeting on Saturday was so good. And
Miriam is in our book club
in our book club. It's a 26-year-old book club. It has a 12-member...
Maybe more than that, I want to say.
I thought I was adding a year even to that.
No, I'm going to be 40, and it was well before I was...
I cannot remember.
Well, it's up there.
It was when I was like maybe 11 or 12 when it was starting.
Probably? To know. And it's got a diverse age group, and I don't know. I left there thinking that was fun, but mostly I was wondering why, and this goes with Elmer's, who should probably go next with his book that he's going to discuss, that book clubs sort of allow you to tell your story.
Yeah.
And then leave and forget about it.
Yeah.
So you sort of walk in, you get a prompt, Gray said, from the book, and then you can relay your stories and then leave without worrying about it for some reason.
Acceptance, safety, yeah.
What do you think?
I think so. Now, I have been attacked because of some of the picks. No, I'm kidding.
Kind of. They're all Irish.
No, it is. It's just, you can choose to talk about anything that you relate to that book, too. Mm-hmm. It's not like on task, this book, because you know what kind of tangents we go off on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're all related to the book in some way, which is really cool. I think it's just a great book club because it's a really great balance of talking about what the book and then what else we read that month, but also just things in general.
Well, in our other book club, the Progressive Book Club,
it's a little bit more focused on the issues.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's good too, but it's a little different. But I just think book clubs are so incredible because I can't think of another time where you socialize with a group of people and it's not just, well, what's going on with your life? There's like a literal prompt for the discussion.
Yes.
And it gets people to talk about things. And
it's in a way breaking the ice for having these conversations, because otherwise, if you just put these people in a room without the book, then you're just like mingling, like, hanging out with the people you want to talk to, and that's about it. You don't really get to share. But I guess another approach is like, it's kind of like a cheap therapy.
That's what mom said. That's what mom said earlier today.
It's a good way to talk and share your feelings, your experiences and opinions in a safe and environment, which I think, I think everybody should be part of some kind of group.
Yeah,
not just a book club, but like any kind of group where you feel comfortable sharing.
I think there's a group at the library right now, and it came up at our meeting this past Saturday, called Books and Bagels. And I don't know if it's on the second Friday of every month, I think, but we can put a link in the show notes. But they don't read a specific book. They just come and share what they've read that month.
I like that idea.
And so that, if you're kind of stressed out by the idea of having to read an assigned book, I think that something like that would be really great to start of your own, or, you know, go to theirs. Those are fun.
What a great way to discover new books that maybe relate to what you're reading right now.
I would love to have like a content club.
A content?
You know, like it could be music, movies.
Isn't that what this is?
Yeah, I mean, we already do that and put it out for people, but you can't have that. You can't have too many groups. Yeah. You know, I'm in two book clubs. Sure. I do this. Hey, what else can I do?
I like that. Content club.
Content club.
I like that content club. We'll put a pin in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That could be springboarding.
That could be the name of this series.
Content club.
Yeah. Well, I always tell myself that, like, I feel like everyone should share their story, regardless of how you feel it's important or it matters, or, you know, like someone somewhere will relate to it in some way.
Exactly.
And I think it's so important to do that. And I think that's, again, going back to the book club, like, that's one way to get it out there. I always tell people, well, start a blog. Just start putting your thoughts on a blog, and, like, somebody will come across it eventually.
You get to know the other people in the book club through their stories. The story situation is coming in, I know, with you in a minute. And but you also kind of figure, at least for me, figure things out myself.
Mm.
So, you know,
because
you're trying to say, oh, I feel this way, or this happened to me. It's like, oh... What's that say about me?
And totally. Not to get too in the weeds about our meeting on Saturday, but this subject of pregnancy came up at our meeting.
I have a lot of experience.
It's all women in the group, and I know how I feel about it and how I felt about it, but for some reason, what other people said and what I was thinking during it, like, really clarified it for me.
Yeah.
Like, and I came away with like now I get what was actually happening and how I actually feel about it. And I don't know if that would have happened. I mean, not that I needed that clarity, but kind of.
Right? It makes you question your gut reaction.
Yeah.
You know,
it was interesting.
Yeah. And oftentimes you change your mind about the book after the meeting. You realize you brought something dark to it,
whatever. Happens a lot.
Definitely.
And listening to stories, which again I'll talk about in a minute, but listening to other stories, it just increases your empathy, and you know, since either you can relate or in some way, or I think you grow from listening to other stories.
But getting to it, do you want to tell us about
book?
Yeah.
So the book I read recently is called The Storytelling Animal by Jonathan Gottschall. It was published in 2012. And I actually came across this from reading Brené Brown's, Dare to Lead or something like that. But she actually had, and I'm going to read the quote that kind of made me read this book. But it was conspiratorial thinking is not limited to the stupid, the ignorant, or the crazy. It is a reflex of the storytelling mind, compulsive need for meaningful experience.
Mm.
Conspiratorial.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
How's that used there? I mean, how do you...
Like, you have a need to like, share a story of what you know, but the information necessarily doesn't have to be accurate isn't accurate, but we have an internal like feeling to want to share what we know or share, you know, by either by experience
this
or
book sounds really I've never heard of this book.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
Yeah.
I did watch that TED talk.
Yeah. Do you need to put it out there even if it's false because you want to believe it? Is that sort of what he's saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
In a way. Yeah.
And what I wanted to ask you, did he touch on, because I'm enthralled with memory, mm-hmm. and I'm reading a book right now. What is it? Why We Remember?
I read
that.
It's
not like Why You Forget, Why You
yeah.
Remember.
Mm.
And how memories change, but it's part of a story when you share those stories that changes your actual memory of what yeah. you experience. So
yes.
Well, he touched on scientific studies where yeah. they would bring in a group of people and they would ask them about their childhood experiences and things they remembered, and then they would bring them back 10 years later and ask them the same questions, and they would add to these stories that they shared at the lab, and some of these things were like not true, but they were just fluffing up their stories
right. mm-hmm.
just to, you know, like I think your memory, and then when you start adding to it, like memory can't be trusted,
right?
Like you can't trust your memory exactly. and because you start adding made up pieces mixed with reality, which in turn, that's where you start getting conspiracies,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Maybe even things you kind of wished really happened, but didn't.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like that, I think yeah. about this all the time. Like I don't have a lot of memories from my childhood from like 6 years or younger. And I've seen pictures. And so I think I forced my brain to remember mm-hmm. things, but I think I only remember those because I saw these pictures,
exactly.
but I don't have any actual memories.
I have that too. I have that too on some things.
Mm-hmm. And then I start yeah. like, I start imagining walking in this room that the picture would take, but honestly, I don't remember anything about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he,
there are certain pictures of my childhood that I am like, I remember that, but I don't know if I do because the picture is just so...
Like you start creating this
yeah.
made up story
and heard the story about
that,
it. Yeah.
You know, and it's again, it's just like it's a lie that you tell yourself to fill in the blanks.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay. I think
yeah.
that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
And when I look at yeah. pictures of myself, which we just did before we walked over here, Steve had gone up and rooted around and found old pictures. I look at them and I think, I don't know that person.
Interesting.
That person isn't me.
Why?
And that has nothing to do with me.
You don't
right.
feel
right.
like you have that person to thank for eventually evolving into the person that you are today?
Mm.
Like if it wasn't for that person's, you know, the way you thought or the way you saw the world, you wouldn't become,
exactly.
you wouldn't be the person you are
yeah.
today.
You wouldn't have made some of the choices.
So. I got to think about that one for a minute.
You know, I
go ahead, Elmer.
So
you
I was,
thought about
I feel
that,
like
Marian?
I was a terrible, you know, terrible teenager, maybe bad in my 20s. But I also, if it wasn't for that person and the goals that 20-year-old
yeah.
Elmer had, I don't think I would be living in Indiana married to Amanda.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's a feeling like I don't regret. It was
yeah.
probably not great, but I don't regret that happening.
This
yes.
is
going to
sound
yes.
so arrogant. When I look at that person, I just like them, but I don't really care about them.
Okay.
They're not me exactly.
So.
When I think about running into my old self, I like my old self.
Okay.
And I like the decisions my old self
okay.
made. And I don't...
You just don't care.
I just don't care.
Okay. I think it's that mom doesn't live in the past.
Yeah.
No.
At all.
I think
no.
That's
I mean,
think that's
once
it.
Something happens, mm-hmm. it's over. It's gone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't...
It's just not relevant.
That's very
it's
good.
It's not relevant anymore.
Now, me, the older I get, the more I identify with that 6 and 7 year old me. And I'm like, yeah, I am you again.
Like
I'm
how?
Not talking about regression,
mm-hmm.
but I totally get how that kid felt about stuff.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
And
I kind of
like it.
I feel like I totally get that.
I kind of like it.
Because your value system was the same there then than it is now.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I feel the same way now I did when I was 8. I knew
yeah.
things were skewed.
And I don't know if it's like maybe because when you're younger, you're acquiring things, and then, but you still don't have whatever age that is that you have at all. Ha ha. But then when you get older, you are losing things. You see what I mean? You are,
physically?
You know, well, physically, mentally, Yeah, in a way.
So in a way, you start gravitating towards those things that made you you when you were
younger. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, the basic.
And when you look back, Elmer, do you regret being that?
I don't think I will ever regret any of the decisions or dumb things that I've done.
And it's unchangeable anyway.
And mm-hmm. I think they still, like, you know, I think looking, the best thing to do is to go back and look at pictures. And it's like you start remembering that mindset you had at that age.
I really identify with what you're saying, though, because I think about, I read... Which book was it that I read? I think it was that Building a Second Brain that I read at the beginning of the year. And he said one of his questions he asks himself on the regular is, what did I like to do as a kid? Because it's probably what you like to do now. And I thought, I listened incessantly to audiobooks.
Boy, you did.
While cleaning my room. Like, that was my favorite thing to do.
Really?
Was not clean, but, like, organize my stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, put my stuff in piles and...
Mm-hmm. Totally did.
And that's what I still like doing now. Like, if I had my choice of what I want to do on a free day, it's to listen to audiobooks or podcasts and tidy the house up.
I love that.
Like, I love doing it. Like, the act of listening and moving stuff around. And so I kind of quit... dreading that, I wasn't dreading the activity, but, oh, these damn toys, like, you know, no, like, I enjoy this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This
that's
is
really,
like a hobby.
That's absolutely true. Well, that's what you
Because I don't
did.
Actually care if the toys are put away, because mm-hmm. they're just going to be there again.
Right.
Like,
right.
So it's not about the tidying.
It's like a comfort
yeah.
thing.
Well, it sounds
like... when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you're doing dishes and then your mind gets to go mm-hmm. somewhere else while
yes.
you're doing something that's autopilot.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know? Definitely. Well, it's funny that we're all the different tangents that were going on. This is exactly what this book was about. Like, it talked about childhood and how, you know, the way you play when you're young, you always find, like, the story that you're telling yourself is, like, what is the trouble? What is the conflict that we need to... deal with
mm-hmm.
And that's our internal, like, we always try to find what is the conflict and how can we fix it, even if it's just I just need to sort this,
yeah,
you know, like there's like a pleasure of like solving and getting something
categorizing
resolved.
Sorting
and it dwelled into dream storytelling, and like also that is like about conflict. It's like your anxieties playing in your dreams and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So
I'm gonna read this.
Overall, this book is about understanding like the function of storytelling and how it plays a role in our life.
Length?
It wasn't very. I don't remember.
Oh, 800 pages.
8 hours.
Eight hour
audiobook.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, done.
I've been going to art exhibits the last, I don't know, 6 weeks or something, which I hadn't really gone to, so it was refreshing. It was great. Kind of, you know, went to one of our friend Wendy there at the Carnegie, and then I went to Ohio. My brother-in-law and his son were having one. That was amazing. And then I ended up going to the Speed, which I haven't gone for an exhibit. I've gone, seen quite a few movies, cinema, films in their cinema, which is great. If you all haven't mm-hmm. gone there, you need to go. But I have a love-hate relationship with the Speed. I could tell many stories, but one of the main things is I couldn't walk in there, and I would be attacked, I will say, and say, you are too close.
Oh.
You are
what?
Too close.
What? Are you serious?
I mean, it was crazy.
Why were they
intense.
Yeah, because, well, I probably was, but I'm responsible. I'm not, you know,
too close,
like surface texture.
Wanting to see texture.
Do the painting. Well, yeah.
But I mean.
I would touch it if I could, but I know not to touch.
Right, right.
But yeah.
Wow. Weird.
Oh, all the time.
Well, so I have a story that can confirm that, that's relative, not super recent, but it was before COVID, well before that. I went to, and this was my first mistake, a like yoga in the museum thing.
Oh, wow.
Which I hate yoga in public spaces, like those kind of things. Yeah. I've never liked doing yoga that way. I don't know why I went. I went with Kayla.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It was, before it started, there was tons of people waiting to get into this area to put the yoga mats down. And there was some kind of musical performance going on that was fairly loud, but everyone was talking, and the staff of the museum screamed at this group of quiet, like,
yeah.
And it was like, this is a public event, like, we're waiting to get into, and it was shocking.
Those are like my other stories.
An experience I had.
At the speed?
Yes. Yeah.
I have quite a few stories.
Yes. I really think that's surprising.
Yeah. The kids and I and Andrew went about, I would say, maybe 2 months ago. Mm. And it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Well, I don't know if they've lost my picture. I was not attacked. Oh, so I went to see India South Asian paintings. I think it's still there to the beginning of May. An amazing exhibit. Amazing. I went in. I bought the tickets. They gave me a magnifier. I'm like going, yes. I think I gave the docent a side eye when I walked by, or like, I get to get close to the paintings. But if you get a chance, these are just the color, the design, the line, the detail, and not only that, like the stories, because they're all based, you know, emperors. They were schools of painters who did these, and they are small. A lot of them are small. But, of course, you know, when Emperor would say, yeah, I want a painting about my great battlefield victory. So just the imagery is just crazy. Mm. And it's just, it is an amazing thing.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. It was a really good, exhibit.
So were they tiny miniature things?
Some of them, I wouldn't say tiny. Some of them were. I would say the average were like 5x7.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Very cool.
Would they have them in a room? How would you display those little...
Yeah, they were in the room on the wall, and they have these huge gold frames. I don't.
Okay.
That's a thing, but yeah, they were, and some of them were on paper, some of them were on board. It was a really good exhibit.
Wow.
So yeah, I've just been really enjoying. Like, okay,
there's
to see beauty
in July.
I get to see art beauty. I mean, I hadn't been to an exhibit.
It's out there.
And it reminds you that you can go do this.
Yeah.
You know, stuff. You get in a rut and don't go. Yeah. See this stuff.
And I don't want to talk down on the speed or anything.
Oh,
I mean, I know a lot of people that I know, friends and family, they're like, oh, I don't ever have to go to Louisville. It's like, well, Louisville is a resource. It's one of the reasons people live here is because it's there and there's so much good stuff.
Well, I've said a million times, I could never live here if it wasn't as close to Louisville as it is.
For sure.
There's no way.
There's so much good stuff. Mm-hmm.
And Wendy's show was good. I enjoyed that a lot.
And it's still there or no?
No. I think it closed the end of March, maybe.
The Carnegie Center, it was a beautifully displayed show there.
Yes.
Really well done.
Yeah, they have some
in
good
New
shows
Albany.
There.
In New Albany.
Yes, in New Albany.
Mm. Okay. Anything else?
Simple. You just ask what gave me comfort for years. I followed my dad's lead and would, this is weird to say this, scratch my back on a door frame. I finally broke out $5 and brought a back scratcher. Oh my goodness. That is some comfort there.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm like, this is ridiculous.
I actually don't have one right now.
Oh. I use a fork.
I have a wooden spoon. I didn't want to hurt myself. Yeah, I understand. Totally.
Yeah, and I just keep it on the end table by
that
my
seems
bed.
Seems sharp.
Steve saw me take a fork one time out of the drawer.
I'm going to share.
And I scratched my back with it, and then I washed it. He goes, thanks for washing that.
Did you say, you're welcome?
I always do.
That's all I'm saying.
It's all out there now in Harrison County.
It is. It's all out there.
Oh, gosh.
That's my comfort. That was my comfort.
Well,
I totally get that.
That's excellent.
Plastic forks at Leah's.
Nope.
For me.
Oh, no. The metal
one. This is such a great segue. Forks. Because I am going to talk about cooking.
Oh, there you go.
And eating.
We'll fork it over to you.
I've been really, really enjoying cooking lately. I've always enjoyed it, but I think there was a shift in the past year or two where I saw it as a hobby instead of just something I had to do every day.
Yeah.
And so I've always been really interested in it in the past, you know, several years. And I listen to a lot of food podcasts, and I love food shows and blah, blah. But now I'm like, I just... we'll try pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. And so Andrew, we started this thing this year where he picks 3 recipes off New York Times Cooking, and I can cook 2 of them a month. I can throw out one if I want. And so it's fun to just be handed a recipe that I would never normally pick out, and just, I have to make it.
Oh.
And so that's been really fun. And I love New York Times cooking. I hate to recommend something that you have to have a subscription for, but it is worth every penny.
I use it a lot. It is so incredible.
And I've just quit using anything else. I use New York Times and my cookbooks I have at home. I don't mess with cooking blogs. I hate scrolling down like 2 miles to get to the recipe. And
there's a jump to recipe button.
I know.
And then it scrolls back up on you.
And, you know, I know they're going to be good. And I have a couple different people on New York Times, Allie Slagle, Melissa Clark, Hedy McKinnon. I know their recipes are going to be solid. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy that subscription. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, I want to talk about Top Chef, because Top Chef is back on. No one else here watches it.
Nope. Not on a regular basis. Okay. Oh.
So Top Chef, you know, it's been on forever. I've been watching it since it started. And it's my favorite reality show. I love it, other than Survivor. But okay. I'm going to get to that. So they have a new host this year. Padma Lakshmi left. And I love her. And so she left. And they have a new host, Kristen Kish, who won the show maybe 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I love her. I love her. Oh, my gosh. She's amazing.
Even more than Padme?
In some ways, yeah. Yeah. But anyway, and so I want to talk about, like, the cycle of things that happen in a year, because Top Chef always comes back in March at the start of spring, and there's something so comforting about it's springtime, Top Chef is on, and everything just feels right with the world.
Oh,
that's
and
nice.
And do you have anything like that where it's content that you consume at the same time every year? Like a movie or a book.
Harry Belafonte Christmas album.
Other than Christmas music, because that's, you know.
Okay, eliminate that's in the pantheon anyway. We can't use it.
Yeah.
I've been thinking, I think David Sedaris' books is like that for me. Mm-hmm. Although I haven't read any this year. But almost every year I'll reread, you know, my favorites. And, and just because I really love David Sedaris.
Right.
Is it seasonal though, or is it?
I don't think it's seasonal for me. I think just whenever I take a break from reading other stuff, I'll just.
That's a great.
It's more like a comfort place.
Yeah.
I think my favorite is the one about squirrel meets chipmunk or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And it's just the animals having these
deep. The owl that had diabetes.
Yes.
Diabetes with animals.
It made me think, because I was thinking, you know, why is this always, because it some shows don't do that, they'll come out at different times, but this show, it's always the same. And it made me think, well, why can't we do this like on purpose, you know? So last year, I don't know what we watched A River Runs Through It sometime in the spring last year, just for fun, and because that's one of my favorite movies, and I thought this movie is very spring-like.
I get that,
like it just feels like spring. So I put a reminder in my Todoist, watch River Runs Through It on April whatever next year. And so it popped up, and so we watched it on Saturday. And just doing it on purpose, there's something about that that I just really love.
It kind of connects you to
yes. And
what's going on.
It's just a plug to watch River Runs Through It.
Have you not seen it? No, I have not.
It's Robert Redford, and he directed two
it's beautiful.
Perfect movies.
It is so perfect.
It is.
It really is.
I can't. We watched it on Saturday. Every time we watch it, the kids watched the first 45 minutes with us, and they loved it. It's not a kids' movie.
Yeah. No.
But the first half is very different in content and tone than the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I think it's a perfect movie.
It is.
I find nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's
this
so
goes
good.
Back to your whole personality of, like, sorting and organizing. It's like if your year is perfectly sorted, like you're happy.
You're so right. It's scheduled.
You know, it's like everything that I enjoyed this year is coming back next year. Perfect.
Am I growing?
No.
Well, of course you're growing. Yes. I think a foundation of growing is you need foundation of habits.
Yeah. You don't have to throw away everything to grow.
It transforms anyway. Every time you watch a movie, it changes.
Oh, sure.
Like watching a movie that you watch when you didn't have kids, and then you watch them again when you have kids, you're like, this is a completely different
movie. Absolutely.
I will never watch Testament after having kids.
No.
That one's rough.
You know,
yeah.
That's it.
Brad Pitt is perfect in that movie.
Yes.
The end. I mean, he is absolutely perfect. There is nothing. And we were talking about him, and Roz said, he smiles a lot.
As she was, we were watching it.
I love it.
And I said, he does.
He acts by smiling. He's one of those.
And I said, yeah. He is incredibly good.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you're watching is very good.
Right.
This is it. This is it.
But anyway, so that's all I had, cooking and
well, I'm intrigued by this spring thing. I'm still going to think about that.
Because I have other
things. We used to always watch Wizard of Oz because it came on TV in the spring.
Well, exactly. So,
yeah. Was it in the spring?
I think I remember it as in the spring.
Yeah.
Which terrified me.
Terrified Liz.
Oh.
But I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I always watch When Harry Met Sally in October.
Oh, yeah.
I always do.
Yeah. Well, see, it's so obvious on the Christmas ones, and so they can't be counted.
No.
But a summer movie or something you do in the summer should be lots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first grilling, except we grill all year round now, so.
I know.
That doesn't count.
But, yeah.
I don't know.
So, anyway, that's all I had. You know?
I would say,
any final thoughts?
Hocus Pocus, I think, is every October.
Sure,
you have to watch that. I'll watch it like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, yeah. But it's incredible.
But the first one, not the second one.
Oh, no.
Oh, the second one's okay.
It was okay.
But the first one is like a classic. All right.
Okay, well, this was great, Miriam. Thanks for joining.
It was fun.
As always, thank you so much for listening. You can find the show notes for this episode at blue.hc.com, as well as our public meeting recordings and a master calendar for those meetings. If you want to keep up with us on social media, find us on Facebook and Instagram at blue.harrisoncounty. If you want to reach us with your thoughts, questions, episode ideas, etc., email us at info@blue.hc.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 502-653-9157. Thanks, guys.